Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of our Facts First podcast. I'm your host, Christian Esquera. Okay, lately tumataas, mas lalong tumataas yung cases ng bagong COVID-19, yung bagong cases ng COVID-19 dito sa Pilipinas, in particular sa Metro Manila and several other regions. And of course, there is an ongoing Senate investigation into the Commission on Audit Findings on the COVID-19 funds worth 67.3 billion pesos allocated for the Department of Health. So isa na to sa mga maraming controversies na pinag-uusapan lately dito sa Pilipinas. At for this particular episode, I would like to introduce to you guys Senator Sherwin Gatchalian. Maraming salamat po sa pagiging parte nitong ating podcast for today.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for inviting me. Maraming salamat.
Una, Senator, pataas ang pataas ang mga kaso lately, no? So I think the other day, more than 19,000. And of course, yesterday, more than 18,000 new cases ang na-record. Una, kumusta kayo? Kumusta yung trabaho niyo sa Senado?
Actually, Christian, naka-self-quarantine ako ngayon because last Thursday, na-expose ako sa isang staff na nag-positive. So I was advised by the Senate doctor to go under self-quarantine. Itong every 4 o'clock na lang, no, buong bansa nag-aantay doon sa paglabas ng number of COVID positives. Parang ano na nga yan, suspense para sa ating lahat. In fact, ako basta after lunch, kinakabahan na ako, especially at this time. So last Saturday, tumaas siya ng 19,000, the highest, no, 90,000 plus, the highest ever in our fight against the pandemic since March. And then against the backdrop of this Senate investigation on the funds aimed to fight COVID. So, parang ano ako eh. Ako personally, I get this very frustrated sentiment. No? Napafrustrate ako dahil tumataas na nga yung bilang ng COVID, record high, and then meron tayong ganitong investigation about iba't ibang anomalies na nangyayari sa loob ng DOH. So, nakaka-frustrate.
Okay, pinag-usapan natin yung frustration. Pero bago natin pag-usapan yung punot dulo ng frustration na yan, tukol doon sa nangyayaring investigation ngayon sa Senado, tanungin ko rin muna kayo regarding dun sa pronouncements recently ni President Duterte. So, medyo nainis siya sa mga senador. Sabi niya, may ilang mga senador nagpo-posturing lang daw at wala naman doon nangyayari sa mga Senate investigations na nangyayari. Anong tugon nyo rito?
Well, Christian, parte ng trabaho ng Senado itong tinatawag natin check and balance and exercise of oversight. Ang ibig sabihin nito, tinitignan ng Senado yung mga bagay na hindi tama sa paggastos ng budget at yung mga bagay na katulad ng lumalabas sa core report, yung mga underspending, yung mga transfer of funds. Trabaho ng Senado yan eh. Dito rin lumalabas yung katotohanan at iba lumalabas yung information na hindi natin nakikita. So parte ng trabaho yan ng Senado at in fairness naman sa Senado over the past many, many decades, no, marami rin namang kabutihan na lumalabas dito sa mga investigations na ginagawa ng Senado.
Pero ano sa tingin niya nagiging or pwede maging epekto nitong mga banat ni President Duterte doon sa mga nangyayari sa Senate investigations? Kasi ang konteksto ng statement niya, dahil dito sa specific investigation doon sa COA findings on the DOH.
Tuloy-tuloy naman ang pag-imbestiga ng Senado. No? At tuloy-tuloy naman yung intention ng Senado na makita yung katotohanan at hindi na maulit to. No? Kasi papasok na rin yung budget season, eh, Christian. And during the budget season, that's around October, we have to make sure that every centavo allocated is spent wisely and anomalies will not be repeated. One of the way gauge, no, personal gauge ko sa mga statement ni Presidente ay si Senator Bongo. No, alam naman natin yung kanyang relasyon sa Presidente. And even si Senator Bongo, I read in the internet na pati siya rin ay concerned dito sa man nangyayari, no, sa loob ng DOH at sa paggastos ng pera. So, in my mind, yung personal opinion ko naman to, in my mind, na sinusuportahan rin ni Senator Bongo yung pag-imbestiga ng Senate at yung exercise of oversight powers ng Senado.
Okay, speaking of Senator Bongo, siya yung mismo na didikit dun sa controversy regarding dun sa purchase ng face masks tsaka face shields. So, ang sinasabi, overpriced daw siya. Pero parang hindi natin masyado nakikita si Senator Bongbo sa mismong investigation. Di ba dapat mas involved siya sa investigation if he indeed is supporting the investigation?
In the second hearing, he was there. In fact, marami siyang statements na ginawa. He was actually quite active, no, during the second hearing. Talagang mayroong ano, I was going to go into later pag diniscuss natin yung Power Report. I was going to say na meron talagang mga anomalies na nangyari. Isa dyan yung overpricing. Tinitingnan ko yung presyo ng mask at shield at talagang nakaka-dismaya personally, no, because ang hirap na nga kumita ng revenues ngayon tapos pupunta pa sa ganitong overpriced mask.
Okay. O sige, himayin natin yung lumalabas sa Senate investigation lately. So ang pinag-uusapan natin dito, ang iniimbestigahan, total of 67.3 billion pesos at meron daw nakitang deficiencies yung commission and audit. Ito yung pondong na-allocate sa Department of Health for COVID-19 pandemic response, for the COVID-19 pandemic response. Okay, pag-usapan natin gano'ng kabigat yung allegation at saka yung sinasabing overpriced dito.
Ako, Christian, no, in my analysis dito sa Power Report, no, I read it, dalawang bagay lang o dalawang description lang ang pwede kong gawin. Number one is underspending. Then number two is overpricing. Napakalaki yung underspending, no? At para sa akin, itong underspending is criminal, especially in time of the pandemic. Lumalabas close to about 59 billion ang underspending noong 2020 and close to about 12 billion yung underspending dito sa Bayanihan 1 and Bayanihan 2. Na-flag rin to ng COA, no? In the report. But para sa akin, nakakadismaya to dahil itong mga pondong to ilinagay natin para panglaban sa COVID at dapat lahat nagagastos, walang natitira diyan, no? Dahil importanteng mas marami tayong gamit, mas marami tayong suporta na binibigay sa mga health workers natin sa paglaban ng COVID. So itong underspending is for me is clear evidence of mismanagement and inefficiency. Kaya babalik na naman tayo doon sa head of agency na si Secretary Duque dahil dapat nung una pa lang, no, in-anticipate na nila na ganito kalaking pondo ay dapat magastos. And this is a question of management kung bakit hindi niya nagastos ng fully. The second, yung overpricing, ito black and white naman to eh. Christian, no? Yung mask is... ang presyo ng mask lumalabas doon is 27 pesos. Pero alam naman natin, ang mask ngayon is about 4 to 5 pesos. And then yung shield lumalabas about 120 pesos. Lumalabas sa merkado is about 25 pesos, more or less. So makikita na, this is black and white, no? Makikita naman natin kung bakit magtataka tayo, no? At makikita natin yung gaano kalaki yung pinatong dito sa mga mask and shields na binili.
Okay. Doon muna tayo sa ano, this underspending para lang makapag-concentrate tayo mamaya doon sa overspending. Although equally problematic yun. Sabi niyo mismanagement, yung underspending was caused by mismanagement. Pero specifically, ano yung sa tingin niya naging problema on the part of DOH? Of course, this is the pandemic. First time natin ma-encounter lahat itong ganitong klaseng pandemic. Pero yung problema ba talaga matutumbok when it comes to the absorptive capacity ng isang departamento? At kung absorptive capacity ang problema, bakit ganun? Parang wala nangyaring pagbabago over the years.
Christian, itong issue of absorptive capacity, hindi na bago yan. Eh, no? I remember, congressman pa ako noong 2001, yan yung problema. No? It's nothing new, itong absorptive capacity. And ang solution to solve the absorptive capacity is planning. No? For example, kung alam mo gagastos ka ng kasi ang pondo ng DOH 200 billion of which 70% niyan is pasweldo. So wala ka ng problema sa pasweldo. So we're talking about close to about 60 to 70 billion in capital outlay in MOE. Iplano mo mabuti hindi pagdating ng bagong taon tsaka lang nagbibidding. No, you have to allow naman under our procurement rules na prior year pwede ka na magplano at pwede ka na magbid short of purchasing. So in other words, you really have to plan. And in this case, alam naman natin na this is a health pandemic. So ang pondo babagsak at babagsak talaga sa Department of Health. So the team of Secretary Duque should have planned earlier, no? Na dapat magastos. So hindi naman si Secretary Duque ang bumibili ito. May isang team rin, no? Yung procurement and yung finance team nila. But being the head of agency, he should have mandated that to spend it and to plan it accordingly. So itong natirang pera, yung tinatawag nating underspending, ang resulta na, hindi tayo nakabili ng gamit, hindi na suportahan yung mga ospital, hindi nabigay yung mga risk allowance o allowances ng mga health workers. So yun ang naging resulta.
Okay. Yung isa namang issue yun sa overspending, una-una, tama ba na ang inutusan, ang sinabihan ng Department of Health na bumili ng face mask, face shields, at mga PPEs, yung procurement service ng Department of Budget and Management? Or dapat ba mas maganda yung DOH na yung gumawa nito?
Actually, on a larger context, Christian, nagiging ano na yan, bad habit ng mga ehensya. Lumabas to in our budget hearing lately. Nagiging bad habit na ito lately, no? Nadidetect. For example, yung sa PITC, yung Philippine International Trading Corp. Ngayon, itong DBMPS, yung procurement service ng DBM, no? Nagiging bad habit na kung hindi ko magastos, kunwari ako yung ahensya, hindi ko magastos, eh ang ahensya ginigrade yan sa paggastos ng pera. Ibibigay ko na lang yung bulto sa PITC o PS o sa iba pang mga agencies na na ang kanyang trabaho ay bumili, no? At we hayaan na natin si PS or si PITC bumili, no? Nagiging bad habit na dahil they don't want to be graded on the basis of underspending. So what they do is lump sum, they give it to another agency. But this is clearly circumvention of the principle of spending your budget. No, ang ginagawa, para lang ma-zero out yung obligation, dinalagay nila sa ibang ahensya. Ito namang ibang ahensya, nagiging de facto, kumbaga, personal shopper nung itong mga agency. Like for example, outside of DOH na ito, no, but nakita namin ito, yung PITC, for example, binigyan ng, there's this one issue, no? Yung BFP, nagbigay ng pera sa PITC. Itong PITC ang ginawa, nagpatayo ng fire station, bumili ng gamit ng mga firemen, na hindi naman nila trabaho yun, no? Because their job is trading. But nagpatayo ka ng fire station, no? So, at hindi naman mas mura, no? In fact, yung fire station nga nila, mas mahal pa doon sa pinatayo ng BFP. So, it's becoming a bad habit, no? Because they know that they will be graded on the basis of spending. And this has to stop. No, dahil hindi yan ang trabaho ng itong PITC and PS, eh. No, trabaho yan ng mother agency na gumastos dahil mas alam nila kung ano yung kailangan nila.
Nga, eh. Ganun ba yung nakikita rin yung problema dito sa nangyari sa DOH at sa procurement service ng DBM? Kasi ang tinransfer daw ng DOH, 42 billion pesos at least. At ang inutusan nilang bumili ng mga face masks at face shields, yung PS, ng DBM.
Ano just to be sure,
ng DBM doon.
Alam mo, Christian, nilalagay ko sarili ko nung nasa executive side pa ako, nung mayor pa ako. So, sabi ko, ano bang gagawin? Ano, what will make me transfer my funds to another agency to purchase? No? There are two reasons lang. Number one, dapat mas mura ka. Hamak na mas mura ka kaysa sa akin. Pangalawa, mas maganda yung quality mo. No? At mabilis na rin i-deliver. Compared sa akin. There should be value for me to give you my money. Or else, I'll do it na lang myself. Diba? At yung 42 billion is not a small amount. That's 1/4 of the total of DOH's budget. So ibig sabihin, 1/4 ng budget ko, binigay ko sa ibang tao para gastusin. Pero lumalabas, hindi naman mas mura. No? At lumalabas, hindi naman mas maganda yung quality. So nawala na yung logic for DOH to give PS its budget, no? They should have bought it themselves na lang. Kung ganun, kung hindi naman pala value for money ang mangyayari.
Okay. Anong basa niya rito sa nangyari? So bakit niya ipinasa yung pagbili sa PSDBM instead of the DOH doing the purchasing?
Yun ang lumalabas dun sa hearing na ang sabi ng DOH because mas efficient yung DBMPS. Busy sila dahil linalabanan nila yung COVID. At meron silang ibang mas mahalagang ginagawa, no? Kumbaga napuno na yung kanilang kamay dito sa ano, yun yung lumalabas. But then again nga, no, you cannot get away from speculating na baka merong may mga hindi magagandang ginagawa to because binigay mo yung pondo mo thinking na mas mura makukuha pero mas mahal naman yung nakuha.
Sige, himayin natin yung pagbili, particular ng face masks at face shields. So far, sa lumalabas pa sa hearing, sa tingin nyo, talagang may matinding corruption na nangyari dito?
It is what it is, eh. Christian, no? In mask and shield, mas mahal. No? Kahit anong baliktarin natin, kahit sinong ordinaryong tao, makikita naman yung malaking price difference. No? At ako, I want to probe on that further. Tingnan natin kung bakit nga ganun. Tayo rin sa Valenzuela, bumibili ng mask and shield. Di naman ganun kamahal. Eh. Even during the height, Christian, aminado na during the height, ang hirap bumili. At hindi naman ganun kamahal. Di naman ganun kamahal. Siguro, at the very most, yung mask na mabibili, siguro mas 7-8 pesos. No? Pero hindi naman 25 pesos. No, so
27 sila.
27 pesos, sorry, 27 pesos. So my point of the matter there is kung ikaw yung chief executive at kahit na alam mo may nagmamadali at lahat bumibili, you'll be prudent dahil alam mo ang cost ng isang mask is 5 pesos lang pero ibinebenta sa 27. Parang hindi mo malulunok na pinapatungan ka almost 400 times more. So, you'd strive hard to find a cheaper mask.
Tsaka nga isang konteksto nito, ang dami nagugutom sa kalye. Ang dami mga hindi nakakapagtrabaho because of the lockdowns, because of the pandemic. Pero may pera yung gobyerno. Kaso, hindi naging maayos yung pagkakagastos.
Alam mo, Christian, interestingly, no? May isang hearing kinundak si, I think it was Senator Pimentel, eh. Or Senator Marcos. Senator Marcos, I remember. It was about the pandemic response. Ang context is economic impact, no? Kasi Economic Affairs Committee. I remember yung mga local textile companies natin. Nag-retooling sila. Kasi sabi ng gobyerno, oh, lahat kayo, mga local textile companies namin, mag-retool kayo, gumawa kayo ng maraming mask.
Yeah.
So nag-retool sila, di ba? Nag-retool sila, bumili sila equipment, hindi muna sila tumanggap ng order, so gumawa sila ng mga cloth mask, no? Which is allowed naman by DOH, ina-allow naman yan. In fact, sa ibang bansa ina-allow yung cloth mask pero hindi naman binili ng gobyerno. So ang reklamo nila, bakit yung kami pinaretool tapos hindi nyo pala kami bibilin? So if and then now you compare this to this 27 peso mask, parang nakakadismaya naman at hindi mo maalis yung speculation dahil andito yung mga local manufacturers natin, pwede sila mag-supply, tapos bumili tayo ng mask na kamahal-mahal. So medyo naano talaga, nakaka-frustrate.
Anong tingin niyo rin sa company na pinagbilhan, yung Farmali Pharmaceutical Corporation? Ang kontrata na kuha niya, 8.7 billion, or close to 9 billion na worth of PPEs, tsaka face masks, tsaka face shields.
Well, Christian, it is what it is. Yung address na binigay, fictitious. No? If you will corner a contract close to 9 billion pesos, dapat malaking company ka na established. No? Pero lumalabas, 9 billion pesos ang nakakuha, isang fly-by-night company na nag-serve ng supina yung Senate at hindi nila ma-serve dahil wala na doon yung company na yon. So yun pa lang is highly questionable na paano nakakuha isang company na walang opisina. Hindi, we're not talking about 9 million pesos or 90 million. We're talking about close to about 9 billion pesos. You know? So again, it's another issue that ako personally, I want to probe.
Okay. Ito sa company na pinag-uusapan, what do we know so far about this company? Kasi nga, laki ng kontrata niya, di ba? Pero, lumalabas dito, ito yung revelation din ni Senator Drilon. Ang paid up capital niya was only 625,000 pesos. Pero usually ba, enough ba yun para makapasok ka sa isang government contract na ganito kalaki? Or dapat ang paid up capital mo kapantay nung presyo ng kontrata na papasokin?
Ako, Christian, I give it the benefit of the doubt pa. No? Kasi ang trading company, buy and sell lang yan. Eh, no? So, kahit maliit yung capital mo, pwede ka naman to buy on credit and to sell. No? So, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt pa sa ganun angulo. Pero yung fictitious office, wala kang reason doon. Eh, no? Kahit na isang maliit na trading, kahit na sari-sari store nga, merong legitimate address. Eh, no? So, ganitong kumpanya pa, more so, dapat may legitimate address. So, the capitalization, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. No? But the address, that's really highly questionable.
So far, kumusta yung search nyo rin sa mga owners or registered owners itong company? Any promising leads?
Wala pa akong nabalitaan. Ano? I'm closely coordinating with the Blue Ribbon office. The Blue Ribbon office kasi they have their own team. You know? And we're closely coordinating getting some updates. What Senator Gordon aims to do is to get the owners, no, and invite them to the next hearing. And it's the best interest of the owners, whoever they are. No, I, to be honest about it, I don't know who they are. It's the best interest to shed light, no, dahil sila ang focus ngayon, eh, no, at dapat mag-attend sila ng susunod na hearing.
Do you get the feeling na itong company to itinayo just to corner such big a contract?
I'm not sure of the incorporation date. I hindi ko na basa yun, ano. I'm not sure. But again, no, babalik tayo sa dun sa address, eh. Yun ang kaagad red flag, eh. Yung nakaagad red flag. And assuming nabasa ko kasi, no, and I listen to the hearing. Assuming lumipat sila. Diba normally, pag malaking kong corporation, naglalagay ka doon sa pintuan mo, we move to a new office, please contact ganito. But there's nothing like that, eh. Parang lumalabas, parang bulaan na lang silang nawala. No?
After ma-corner yung contract.
After ma-corner yung contract. After ma-corner. Diba, I mean, Christian tayo naman, nung nasa private sector ako, talaga naman mayroong mga trading companies, no? Ay, that's ano yan, kumbaga given na yan sa bansa natin. But normally yung mga legitimate ones pag lumilipat, no, nakikita ko mayroon silang we're moving to this office, please call ganito. Even small companies may mga ganun. But if kung gusto mo mahanap ka, pero kung hindi mo gusto mahanap, mawawala ka na ng ganyan.
Okay. Pero ito, ano yung liability ni Undersecretary Christopher Tao? Siya yung in-charge dun sa procurement service ng DBM. Siya yung nakapagkontrata dito sa kumpanya na to.
Well, he should have been more prudent. No? At kagad, yung mga ganitong suppliers. No? Part yan ng due diligence nila is to visit the office, no, to talk to the owners, to make sure that their products are of high quality. Trabaho niya talaga yan. Malaki ang liability niya yan. And ako, I won't accept na ganyan-ganyan lang. No? Kasi ang pinaka-defense is during that time, sila lang yung nagbebenta. During that time, yun yung pressure. That's not acceptable. Definitely not acceptable yung Christian. Because even under our procurement rules, no, may due diligence ng supplier. Kahit mag-supply ka ng ballpen lang, may due diligence ng supplier. Let alone ito, 9 billion pesos. Dapat naging, ano na yan, naging instinct niya na tingnan mabuti itong supplier na ito kung legitimate to o hindi.
Tsaka I don't know kung nare-realize ang karamihan sa mga nanonood at saka nakikinig sa atin yung gaano kalaki 9 billion pesos. 9 billion pesos. I remember nung fertilizer fund scam, that was more than 10 years ago. Nalula na tayo rin sa presyo, di ba? Naka 700 something million. Pero pinag-uusapan natin ngayon, 9 billion pesos.
Well, just to do some rough calculations. If you're talking about yung mass lang, assuming mass lang yung benchmark natin, 400% ang kanyang patong, no? So that 9 billion pesos ang kinita niya diyan, roughly is close to about probably 6 billion to 7 billion. Kung ang margin mo is that 400. Ah. Mm-hmm. So ang ibig sabihin, kung ang binili ng gobyerno is let's say lang a billion, sabihin na natin 2 billion pesos worth of mask and gamit. Yung balance noon, which is 7 billion, is that's the kita nung kumpanya na yon. Yeah. Assuming yan ang overpricing ano. I'm just doing some rough calculation. So grabe yon. Grabe yung kanilang profit.
So the very least parang lumalabas dito based na sa mga lumalabas sa hearing para opportunism. So one company made a killing out of a government contract in the middle of a pandemic. Mukhang ganun ba yung nangyari dito?
Alam mo, Christian, businessmen will always be businessmen. No? They will always look at opportunities during a crisis. Sabi nga nila, yung mga ganitong crisis, may opportunities rin. No? At yung mga ganitong magne-negosyo, naturally yan eh. Talagang may magsusupply ng gamot, no? May magsusupply ng vaccines, may magsusupply ng mask, hospital equipment. Pero tayo gobyerno, we have to make sure na itong mga negosyante o mga korporasyon, hindi naman aabuso. No? And we have to make sure alam natin yung cost nila. No? For example, yung mask. Alam naman natin yung cost ng mask. Eh. Kung papatong sila ng ganyang kalaki, sa control naman natin na sabihin, huwag ka naman ganyang magpatong. Bibili kami sa inyo, pero be reasonable. So you can compute all of this naman. Hindi naman siya rocket science na hindi mo makukompute.
Oh, tsaka may current market value ng panahon na yun. No? Maski mataas ang presyo ng face mask, no? Hindi naman ganito kamahal. No?
Actually, nung pandemic, Christian, sa Valenzuela, we had some encounter rin. To be honest, that time, I remember, nung kasama ko si Mayor Rex, this is during, siguro mga April, in the history of the local government in Valenzuela, bihira kami bumili ng mask and shield kasi wala namang pandemic. So talagang hanapan ng supplier, no? At kinumpute naman ang unang instinct namin, compute magkano ba isang mask at magkano isang shield. Kasi ang daming dumadating na offers eh, ganito, ganyan. But you have to compute magkano yung freight cost, magkano. And then malalaman mo naman magkano yung landing cost plus profit. Eh. So yun na yung benchmark mo. Mm-hmm. So anything na malayo diyan, hindi na namin kakausapin. Pag reasonable ka, then we negotiate. Maybe you can give us better terms. You can deliver right away. Kasi may iba, mas mura nga, pero delivery after 3 months, 4 months. So, aayusin mo na doon. Pero wala naman kaming na-encounter na almost 400 times more, no, than the cost of the mask.
Hindi yung patong dito. Pero dito si kay Undersecretary Christopher Lau, naniniwala ba kayo na talaga napunta siya sa position na yan without any backer?
That's what he claims, no? I heard from the hearing, no? That's what he claims. But I'm di ko alam kung anong. I am not really sure ano yung naging process niya.
Because very sensitive yung position niya. Tsaka it's involved in so many purchase agreements. And in this case, 9 billion pesos. No?
Correct. Apparently, now that nasa spotlight yan, it's a very powerful office, no? Biro mo, it can dispense 40 plus billion in worth of purchases. Isa lang ahensya na yan, no? DOH na yan. Hindi pa natin nakikita yung ibang mga ahensya. I'm not really sure kung magkano yung ibang ahensya, but kung kaya niya mag-dispense ng 40 plus billion for one agency, I'm sure malaki yung dinidispense silang pondo dyan.
Tapos, may isang akusasyon naman na may mas mataas pang tao kay Christopher Lau na involved dito sa controversy. Yung critics nila, they're pointing to Senator Bongo na meron siyang fingerprint dito. Kasi nga, dati raw niyang tao si Christopher Lau at mukhang siya yung pinapahapyawan na backer ni Attorney Lau. Kaya napunta si Attorney Lau dun sa PSDBM. So far, what do you think of this?
Okay, Sean, it's difficult for me to speculate, no? But ako personally, I know Senator Bongo, and very very firm siya sa stance niya against anti-corruption. And itong taong to, no? I don't know his connection with Senator Go, no? Nababasa ko lang, but personally, I really don't know. But what's very important here is to make sure that the truth comes out. And kung merong nakitang pagkakamali si Mr. Lau, then dapat makasuhan at ma-prosecute. Okay. And yan ang pinaka-importante ngayon.
Okay. Ano sa tingin niya magiging epekto nitong controversy nito dito sa overprice, dun sa overall pandemic response? Lalo nga tumataas yung cases ngayon, di ba? So lahat naman talaga apektado ng Delta variant, itong Delta-driven surge. Kasi marami talagang dismayado rin sa nagiging takot yeah. Pandemic so far, di ba?
Yeah, hindi mo maalis, Christian, yung pagka-dismaya ng tao because nga, 2 days ago, nag-record high tayo, 19,000, and then sa kabila, maririnig mo, may overpriced yung mga basic items like mask and shield. Hindi mo matatanggal yung frustration. No? And then, alam naman natin ang resulta ng pag ganitong tumataas yung cases, lockdowns. Pag nag-lockdowns, alam natin resulta na bumababa yung kita no, ng mga kababayan natin. Maraming hindi nakakapagtrabaho. So, I'm sure hindi lang ako na-frustrate dito sa mga balitang to, but marami. No? That's why it's important that this will not be repeated again. And importante na makita natin yung pulot dulo at kasuhan. No? Kung nakitang may pagkakamali, dapat makasuhan ka agad.
Sige. Ito, madalas ka rita nang to sa mga interviews ko eh. Kasi nga, kahit lahat tayo nakatutok sa pandemic, sinasabi nila, yung butante, yung ordinary Filipino, meron siyang pwedeng gawin kung hindi siya masaya sa nagiging takbo ng pandemic response. Hindi lang ng national government, pati nung local government. Diba? Sabi nga nila, yung pandemic na to basically expose the good leaders, the great leaders, and the bad ones. Sa tingin nyo, ano yung dapat maging pagtingin dito ng ordinary Filipino with the way the pandemic has been handled and what they can do, for instance, on election day about this?
Ano ba, one thing I learned, no, Christian, with this pandemic, there's no rule book that you can follow and wala, no, mawawala yung pandemic or bababa yung cases natin. This morning lang, I was watching Bloomberg. Sa Sydney, they're now experiencing record high, 12,000 cases a day. And to think Sydney has already vaccinated more than 50% of their population. Nagulat ako sa Tokyo this morning rin. Napansin ko pumapalo lang yung kanilang vaccination at 40%. No? Hindi malayo sa atin yun. To think Japan is a first world nation. I was expecting actually na mas mataas yung kanilang vaccination. So there's no playbook that we can follow and everything will be okay. No, we just have to adjust every now and then. And nakita ko yan on the ground with the local governments. What's important right now is ako in my experience. Is we really need to live with the virus right now. No? 18 months into this pandemic, dapat matuto na tayo na andyan yung virus. And by doing so, government should really strictly implement the rules. No? Walang exception. For example, kung bawal ang gathering talaga. No? Walang magba-birthday party, walang mag-ganito, kasi dyan talaga tayo tatamaan. The rule should be applied equally.
Pero kayo personally, how would you assess the pandemic response of the government since last year? Are you content?
They have done what they should have done in the past. So ibig sabihin, there are room for improvement. No, the things that I can see to improve is number one in contact tracing natin. Contact tracing natin is still wala, non-existent on a national scale. No? Buti na lang itong mga LGUs, may kanya-kanya silang contact tracing app. Our testing capacity should be decentralized. Marami tayong mga cities pa na wala pang testing capacities. Ang evidence yan, nagpa-fluctuate tayo between 30 to 60,000 lang yung ating testing capacity. But on an overall scale, ang aking analysis dyan, government has done what they should have done. No? And the improvements should still be improved. In terms of expectation of reducing the virus to near zero, mahirap yun at this point until we roll out the vaccine to 70% of our population.
Okay. Senator Sherwin Gatchalian, maraming salamat po for joining us on this podcast. Maraming salamat, sir.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so that's it for this week's episode of our Facts First podcast. This has been your host, Christian Esguera. Mapapanood niyo po itong episode ito sa YouTube. And of course, just click the subscribe and like button. And of course, you can listen to the podcast edition on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Maraming salamat po. See you again in the next episode of our Facts First podcast.